Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
To be able to, first of all, gather with his people, but also to share a word with the people of God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this time, this day, dear God, this hour. Dear God, I thank you, dear God, that you have called us to be here for such a time as this. Dear God, you have allowed us to be here, dear God. And today, we pray, dear God, that your word would go forth. Dear God, that your word would speak to us, to speak to our situations, oh God, and that it would transform and change us by your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen. Kids, you are dismissed. Praise God. As I was, I preached this sermon. I started preaching when we had the barbecue. But as you guys know, we had the barbecue and everybody was like, Marquise, you got to hurry up because you got to cook. But I was like, we'll see what we had to do. And God spoke some things, but we're going to continue in that same vein. Is that all right? It's all right. So my question that I asked was, where are you? Where are you right now when you think about, and I talked about all the different things that are going on in this world. Where are you right now? Because many times the things that go on in this world are distractions to keep you from being focused on the main thing. And that main thing is your relationship with God. Amen. So many times there's so many distractions. I talked about social media and all the distractions that come with that. I talked about the wars and all the distractions that go on with that. But we as people of God, we need to be where God wants us to be. And that's spending time with him to get the answers. Amen. I think I was talking with Tamron a couple weeks ago. And we were talking about how God's word will say one thing, but people's opinions, they begin to put these opinions higher than God's word. Or let's not even say opinions. They'll put their, what's the best word? What did we say there? What word was? The things they've been through, right? They say, oh, well, I've been through this, and I know that this works, but guess what? Just because you've been through something and you went through something a certain way, it should never supersede God's word. God's word is higher than your word. It's higher than your circumstances. It's higher than even the different things that you went through. Amen? And you have to, the word of God has to remain there, right? Now, this is why it's important to know where you are. When it comes to the word of God, you have to know where you are. Because right now, guess what? We are in the last and evil days, right? It's getting worse and worse. I was talking to my dad this week. They're talking about adding an elective to public schools, after schools, where they teach them the religion of Satanism. Right? That's what's going on, right? But this is what I want to say. Where are we? If they can do that, guess what? We can do the same thing, right? And not only that, we need to begin to pray for our children. Why? Because the enemy is, like the word of God says, is like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Guess what? He's fooling people. He's giving foolery. He's handing out fool's gold. And you know what? What begins to happen is the enemy wants to capture these kids at a young age so that it's harder for them to turn back to God. But guess what? If we begin to pray, we can pray that seeds are planted, that seeds are watered, and that God gets the increase. Amen? That's why it was so powerful when we had SoCom and his whole crew come, and the kids in this neighborhood gave their life to the Lord. That was powerful. Amen? Now we have to pray that and we have to train them up in righteousness, in godliness, so that they would know where they are, right? But they also would know who they are. Because if you don't, it's one thing to not know who you are. Some people are still trying to find out, are you a Christian or are you a sinner that was just saved by grace? Now, you are a sinner saved by grace, but now you walk in a new man. So some people say, man, I'm still walking in this and I used to do this. Guess what? Therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ, he is a. Oh, come on, man. We got to know it. This is the name of the church, right? He is a new creation. Therefore, the old has gone and the new has come. You have to believe that, because if you don't believe that, nobody else will. Right? Guess what? The nation that we live in, they'll remind you of your past. Right? Oh, you might have been a felon. You might have had this. Somebody's going to remind you of your past. But if you say, hey, if you have it said and said, man, look, that was who I used to be. Now, because of God and his covering upon me, he has transformed me. Now I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. I'm walking differently. Hey, don't you see how I talk now? I didn't talk like that back in the day. Why? Because I believe that God has transformed me. Amen. And where we are, it has to start with who we are. Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. As I was praying this week, I was like, God, who is going to be the person I talk about? And this week, we're going to talk about Noah. Somebody say Noah. Now, I get excited when I get to preach. I was talking to somebody today. I mean, I felt like I was preaching all day. I was just sharing God's word and talking with people. But one thing that I always tell people is I'm excited no matter if I'm doing music or sharing the word of God, because this is what God has placed in me. I can be in a Uber drive and somebody get in and the Spirit of God says talk, and I gotta just be obedient and speak the word of God. Let me tell you guys something. Sometimes it's not the big, bold things that you do that are in front of everybody. Sometimes it's the little things that make a huge difference. Amen. Brother Philip, I remember there was a guy that you said when you go downtown, he tries to ridicule you, right? He doesn't do it anymore? Okay. You haven't seen it? Okay, praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes it's important for you to just take time to minister to him. Ask him, what's going on in your life? Why? Because that shows that you care about this person. Amen. There's a saying that people say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? Now, I could tell my neighbor, hey, bro, I love you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, you got time for me? I ain't got time for you, bro. I'm running on the run. Hey, man, you the homie, man. I appreciate it. All right, peace. I got to go. But if I never spend time with them to let them know who I am, to let them know, man, hey, I've really been praying for you. Is there different things that I can pray for? I know you're going through school. You might be going through this. Hey, how can I be a part of your life? Amen. Jesus spent a lot of times just spending time with the people that he was around. You know, and sometimes it's not, Jesus didn't preach every time he spoke. Even, let me clarify something. Every time he spoke, it's the word of God, because he was God, right? But sometimes he said, just pray with me. Let's go to this guy's house. Let's fellowship over here. Let's spend time with them. Amen. And more than that, he said, let me go spend time with God. Jesus is all about relationship. And we've heard it before, but when we want to impact people, it starts with relationship. Sometimes it starts with listening, right? I know the church, we have the answers all the time. I got an answer. But sometimes some people just need to run their mouth for a little bit, right? And tell you all that's going on, because that's therapeutic at times, right? Now, there's always a time where you can say, okay, I've heard you. Can I share the answer with you, or can I share what God is putting on my heart? And that's when God is able to use you the most, because they saw that you cared enough to listen. Amen? But Noah is an interesting story, and I'm not going to add to the scriptures, but we're going to look at some of the things that are not said that could have went on in the scriptures. Amen. Now, let me say this. I am not adding to the Bible, okay, at all. But I want to say a couple things. It says in Genesis chapter 6, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay. So God, what God does here is he begins to shorten the lifespan of men and women. Why? Because they are flesh. What does that mean when God says they are flesh? That means that they are walking in their flesh, which is against what God wants them to walk in. Amen? They're starting to do things that God is not too excited about. Matter of fact, we know that this angered God because they were living according to the flesh. Now, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, it tells us, do not live according to the flesh, but live according to the spirit. Right? Now, we live in a day and age where if you don't know who you are, you're going to live according to the flesh like everybody else, because they say, hey, you know, God's word said this, but we can do this over here. God's word is not the final authority. Guess what? If somebody says that, you let them know, I believe in the word of God. I remember I was in a ride and they were talking about Ben Carson. Everybody knew Ben Carson was running for president, and Ben Carson believes in biblical creation. And guess what somebody had the audacity to say? Man, he's so stupid. He believes in creation, right? Well, evolution still haven't been proved, right? Evolution still has not been proved by all the scientific scientists that are working to prove evolution. It still has not been proved, right? So what does that mean? We believe in creation where it shows how something happened, but they don't want that. Really, that's really what it is. They don't want to accept that. But they want to accept that some explosion. And I guarantee this. If you just put rocks and just exploded something a million times, I guarantee it will not create something that you'd be like, wow, look at that, besides a mess, right? It'll create a mess. So their thing is Big Bang happened. Then a tadpole turned into a frog, and the frog turned into a cat, and a cat turned into a dog, right? And life started just happening all of a sudden. And then the dog turned into a cow, and now you got two cows. And it's like, man, what in the world? This is what they believe. And then the monkey turned into the man. And monkeys are not turning into men. They're trying to make monkeys out of men, but monkeys are not turning into men, right? But they accept that as truth. But the word of God says different, right? So we already live in an age that, this is no secret, we live in an age where men and women are not accepting God's word. And they don't even have a factual evidence of what they believe, but they just don't want God's word. And this is what's going on here, because they are living according to the flesh. It says, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. All right, let's get to verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All right? So God, what's going on here is God looks at what he created, and he's like, man, this is not working. Right? They're getting worse and worse. This is what I created. And, you know, it's like the mad scientist who created the monster, right? He's like, oh, no, this is what I made. And look, it's turning into a monster. That's what was going on. God created man. Because of sin, man began to turn his back on God. Guess what? So the crazy thing about this thing is, at this point, there's going to only be one person that God considers righteous. Right? We don't know how many people is on this earth, but God is like, I got to cut the age down. There's 600 and 700 people there's people that have lived 600 and 700 years. Did I make that up? No, that's true. They were living and growing, right? And God was like, I got to cut this down because if I don't, this is going to get out of control. Just imagine if we kept living, if we lived in the same age as, I mean, we could think about George Washington. George Washington would still be alive, right? All the stuff that went on in America, even in the beginning, would still be going on, right? Because these people wouldn't die, but God had to shorten the years to 120 years. Why 120? He was like, hey, maybe they can get it right within that span, hopefully. And then it says this, man. This is God's heart. It says, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Why is God grieved here? Because they want other things instead of him. Remember, when God created man, he said, I made them in the image and likeness of God, right? And he created us to give him worship. When you live in the spirit, when you're operating in the spirit, you operate in worship. All right? So where are you? Are when it comes to operating in the spirit, are you operating in the spirit? And this is not a knock. This is just a wake up. Sometimes you got to wake up. Where are you right now? Because I'm going to tell you this. With all the stuff that's going on in the world, I know a lot of people that used to live for the Lord, and they see it, and they're like, wow, this is crazy. But they're not coming back to God, right? They keep on living. And the thing is, the enemy wants to just lull you to sleep. Oh, God's not coming back soon. Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm a Christian. Hey, let me start going to kick it with some of the other people. Let me go hang out with them. Maybe they got to see, look, if you have the answer, you don't start looking for another answer. Right? Have anybody ever took a test and you got 100% and you said, oh, wait, man, I need to take the test again. No, you don't. You got it right. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Right? We know that song. But sometimes we'd be like, well, he's kind of the answer. I'm talking about Christians right now. I'm not even talking about people in the world. Because what begins to happen is you rep him half the time. God is good on Sunday and Saturday. Hallelujah. But on Monday, I'm going through it. And I don't know. This is why you don't walk around and talk like everybody else. I'm going to just be clear about this. You don't walk around, hey, how you doing? Oh, my day is horrible. No, it's not. Not if you believe that this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, but you can't walk around as a Christian talking about, oh, it's just a horrible day. Man, I can't wait to, oh, you sound like Eeyore. I always say that. Eeyore, we got Eeyore Christians. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You don't even believe that, right? You got to believe this thing. And this, it comes to, where are you right now? Do you believe this? Or is it just stuff that you heard that sounded good and you're in it for the moment? Because a lot of times people just get in, this is a new fad. Let me check this. All right, yeah, this is the new thing. Okay, cool. They got grace. All right, that's the new thing. Let me operate in grace. But God wants you to know where you are, to stay put in him, to stay grounded in truth, the word of God, so that you can impact these people right now. Because guess what? If you don't know where you are, they definitely don't know where they are. Right? And if you want to impact somebody, you can't do that not knowing who you are. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc
or on Twitter at New Creation WA. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
I'm reading this book called The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And in this book, he's talking about you should not listen to somebody that's a broker that's trying to tell you how to get money and they're broke. Why? Because if they are telling you how to get money and don't have money, they haven't figured it out. Right? You don't go to somebody that doesn't know something to get the information. Okay? You have to go to the person that knows something to get the information. Now, we know that the Bible says God knows all. Right? And I'm going to just say this. Some of us are, sometimes we might be looking for employment. Don't just ask everybody, say, God, what do you want me to do? God, I'm looking for this. Okay, God, I need you to show me and direct me where to go. Right? When you do this, God will open up your eyes because just like Solomon asked for wisdom, he will give you wisdom. Amen? God is not a respecter of persons. But you have to ask him and say, okay, God, I need to know where to go. I need your direction. Amen? Let's keep on going. It says, verse 7, so God was grieved. Verse 7 says, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is a genealogy of Noah. This is the genealogy of Noah. And Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. It didn't say he was perfect in all his ways. It said it's in his generations. Noah walked with God. Now, this is important. Where are you? First of all, you should be walking with God, right? Amongst a wicked and perverse generation, God is looking for new Noahs, in a sense, that are going to walk with God, even though others are not walking with God. Amen? That has to be set up in your mind. I don't care if you go home and your spouse is not walking with God, you walk with God. If your kids are not walking with God, you walk with God. Right? If your parents are not walking with God, you walk with God so that you can be that person that is in a position where God can use you. And I'm going to tell you this. I've seen people that their kids might have got saved and they begin to walk with God and they begin to transform their house. So where you are is very important to what God is going to do in your family. Amen? It says, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked up on the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, all right, the only way that Noah could hear this is to be walking with God. Now, I'm going to just say this. Some of us miss the assignment that God has put on our life because we're not walking with God. Right? We have created our own assignments and we miss what God wanted us to do. But there is grace for you. There is mercy for you. Amen? What we must begin to do is walk with God. Say, okay, God, I know it might look like this. I might even have this idea, but God, what do you want me to do right now? I need to walk with you, God, which means I need to spend time with you. I might need to just hear your word for the whole day. Get rid of all the distractions that's going on. That's why we fast, to remove the distractions that hinder us from walking with God. That's really what a fast is, right? To remove the distractions, and most of the time, the distractions are already in our own flesh. There's desires that we all have that need to be surrendered to God so that we can walk with him in purity and holiness that we only can receive from accepting Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm not going to say fasting will make you a Christian, but after you become a Christian, you should want to fast so that you can seek God's face. So that you can seek his heart. Amen? Because some people say, oh, you don't got to fast after you get saved. You know, just do whatever you want. Those are the kind of people that will mess you up. Why? Because they take some of the God's word and they'll say, just do that, and that's all you got to do. You don't got to do nothing else. There's no purpose for your life. You gave your life to Christ. That's it. No, that's wrong. God has a distinct purpose for your life. Matter of fact, he says you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, set apart to do what? His works. Amen? So after you give your life to God, you have a job to do. And guess what? If you want to know your job, you got to read Job to get on your job. I used to say that all the time. Right? You got to read Job. Now, you don't got to read Job, but it's good to read Job. But you got to read the full word of God to know what your job is. The word of God has to become, man, when I read the word of God, I'm saying, look, that's me. I have to become like that. Amen? Or I say, I can't do that right there. That was God. God slayed him because he, okay, I don't do that, Keith. Right? Why? Because I look at God's word, and as God's word, I need to be conformed into the image of what God's word is, because Jesus was the word. He lived this word out, and it's our job to follow what he did. Amen? Let's keep on going. It says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it in the inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits. Its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but somebody say, all right, that's a but God situation, right? Which means, we talked about this on Wednesday, this means God's grace was given in this situation. Amen? It says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Then God, see, this is the thing. Noah got the word, but he didn't just be like, God, hey, that was a great word. Yeah, catch you later. But it says, then God did. Somebody say, do the word. Come on, say, do the word. It's not enough to hear God's word, because the Bible says many hear the word, but deceive themselves because they don't do the word. Right? And it said they deceived themselves to the point where if they went to the mirror, walked away, and they came back to the mirror, they were like, who is that? They didn't know who they were because they deceived themselves. So it's not enough to hear God's word. God wants you to do it. Amen? This is why it's important to listen to the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to say this. I am not perfect by any means, right? There's times where God has told me to do something and I didn't do it. And guess what? I felt bad about it. It's like, dang, God told me to do that. Man, why didn't God, next time you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. Right? So God told me, okay, I got to do this. Why? Because I want God to be happy with me. I want to please God. Now, see, this is a test. Many of us, we are in a, when God tells you to do something, you can either please God or please man. Right? Many times, we won't do what God says because it's going to please man. It's going to make everybody happy. Right? But it doesn't make God happy. We have to shift our balance to say, man, if God ain't happy, I'm not happy. I can really care less about these people around me. If God's not happy with who I am, what good is it? Right? Everybody else could throw me a party. Hey, yeah, hey. And you be at that party and you be like, man, I let God down. Right? Because God matters more than these things that go on in this earth. Or he should. Amen? But it says, then Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. And we know after that, the flood came. Now, during Noah building this ark, it took a while, right? But God gave him so much details on how to build an ark. Now, sometimes people be like, God told me something, but I don't know how to do it. But if you keep on praying, keep believing, guess what? Help's on the way. God will show you how to accomplish what he's told you how to do. Amen? And guess what? Sometimes God will tell you something, but he wants you to do the work to figure it out. Right? God might tell you to do something, and if you are not researching, if you're not practicing, somebody say practice. If you're not practicing, if you're not saying, okay, God, I want to use what you've given me, guess what? You're going to get rusty. Right? And what begins to happen is, after a while, you're like, I don't know if this is really what God wants me to do. I'm not that good at it anyway. Right? Because you delayed it. But God wants you to do it. Amen? So after that, he's building the ark. Guess what? I'm pretty sure people ask, Noah, what are you doing, man? Right? And I'm going to tell you this. When you do what God tells you to do, people are going to ask you, why are you doing that? Monica, why do you go to church on Saturday and Sunday, right? Why don't you do what we do, right? That happens, Monica, sometimes. Monica, you're so weird. That's what they call it. You're a weirdo, right? Why? Stop, Tavern. But what begins to happen is they start to witness what you're doing. Now, I'm going to tell you guys I'm going to tell you this. I remember when me and my brother Chamie, and we used to go downtown and minister to people. People did not believe us until they seen us down there for a while. And after a while, they were like, man, you guys, you're not coming to do what we're doing. You keep talking about Jesus. You must be serious. This is why it's important to not just say it for a minute, but to continue in it. Because there's somebody that's watching you to see if you're for real. Because I tell you, people say real recognize real. But guess what? Fake people recognize real people too. Right? But they'll watch you. They want to see, okay, is this something that, is it just a moment? Or do they really believe that? So Noah is building this ark. I'm pretty sure people said, hey, what in the world are you doing? An ark? Because it's about to rain. Rain? What is rain? This dude is tripping, right? And I'm pretty sure they begin to make fun of Noah for doing what God told him to do. They probably begin to get seats and just watch. Oh, let's see what he's going to do today. Look at Noah. He just doing, look. And then it started raining. Right? See, this I'm going to tell you guys. Sometimes some people need a storm in their life to recognize that God was speaking to them, right? And they should have listened to his voice. Oh, man. Sometimes people need it to rain just a little bit more than what it has already been doing so that they can say, man, I wasn't right. Right? This is why we pray that whatever it takes, God, to save people. Now, we don't want them to be thrown into... We don't want people to just be hurt, but we want people to come to God. Amen? And we have family members, and we're like, God, whatever it takes to save them, do it. But don't let them die, God. Not in their sins. But God, bring them to you. I don't know if you need to wake them up in a dream. I've interviewed artists that have talked about God just kept giving them nightmares. And they were like, what does this mean? They ran and they said, they went to the pastor. Hey, I had this dream. I don't know what it means. What, can you help me? I can't sleep. And he was saying, God's trying to tell you that he wants to use you. Right? I had people that had dreams that they were dying. And every time they went to sleep, God used that to make them want to serve him. So sometimes it's like, God, give them a dream, God, that will wake them up spiritually. Right? God, show them something that's going to make them say, God, I need you more than anything. Right? But for these people, that didn't happen. Because they lived in their flesh. They made their own rules. Right? They partied how they wanted to party. But just like I ask you, where are you when God tells you something and the world around you is like, that ain't what you need to do. You should be like Noah about the work of God. Despite the ridicule, right? Despite people saying, oh, you're just a foolish person. You don't know anything. Because how many people know that? Many people say that about people that serve or follow the word of God. We watched this movie, God's Not Dead 2. It's a good movie. But if you watch the reviews, people in the world, they trash that. Oh, you can't do that. It's da-da-da-da. They're so stupid. They don't know nothing. You're so closed-minded. Da-da-da-da. Why? Because it's God's word. Right? Now, you know, out of all books, the word of God is the one that causes the most controversy. You take a Bible into a school, kids will get kicked out. Take any other book, it's all right. Why? Because men, like flesh, does not want God's word. We're in an age where men do not want to hear God's word. Right? The Bible talks about this. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. Romans chapter 1. And it talks about all the things that we'll begin to do. In Timothy, it talks about, Paul was writing them, he said, beware of people that begin to preach their own messages just to make people happy. Guess what? Even in the church, there's people that preach happy messages. Ever been to a church and, oh man, God will bless you. Da, 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 da. He will bless you. Don't you know? If you stand up right now, if you scream from the top of your lungs, you're going to get a blessing. Anybody been to something like that? Been there. But I'm like, man, where's the word? Where's the obedience? You're not, first of all, let me just be clear. You're not going to get blessed by God if you just do what you want to do. Right? You're not going to get blessed by God just because you jump up and down and scream and shout. Blessing comes from honoring and obeying God's word. Right? And guess what? It's not a monetary blessing. Always. It can be. God's blessings are more than money. Right? When God blesses you, he could. I was telling somebody my testimony. I remember when I was having issues paying our mortgage at one time, and I don't really like talking about this stuff, but God allowed this stuff to happen, and God made a way for us, right? But I would call the people. They would call me, and guess what? Sometimes answer those calls, right? They would call me and be like, hey, Mr. Franklin, you haven't paid in like 4 months. Like, what's going on? And I'd be like, man, listen, look, God told me that he's going to take care of it. I don't know when I'm going to be able to pay it, but the Lord told me that. And guess what? On the other side of the line, it was a Christian. And they were like, wow, let me see what I can do. I'm going to delay everything for 4 months for you. You know what I'm saying? So we can get it. And I'm like, man, God, right? Because I'm like, man, I don't know if this person going to believe me. I'm looking stupid, right? But I just tell them, man, this is what God told me, right? And then they makes God uses a blessing, even though I didn't have the money, he used a blessing to get it back on track, right? Now, the only reason that happened is because even in that situation, I shared what God spoke to me. I didn't speak my opinions. And see, when you begin to speak God's word, spiritually things begin to happen. And I'm going to tell you this, when you speak God's word long enough, you'll start seeing things spiritually begin to happen, but also manifest in the natural, right? Because you're standing on God's word. You got to stand on God's word like, look, there's nothing going to move me off this thing right here. This is what God's word says. I'm standing on this word, and I'm standing on his promises. And I'm not going to let anything shake me or distract me from standing on God's word. Why? Because God's word is it has the final authority in my life, and I'm going to hold on to this thing. Come hell, come high water, look, I'm standing on God's word. Amen? You got to have that mentality. Noah did that. So when I ask you, where are you? The answer should be, I'm standing on God's word. I'm standing on the word of God that I might not see what I might not understand what's going on. There might be problems going on, but if I stand on God's word, I know all other ground is sinking sand. So I'm just going to stand on the word of God and his promises and trust that God is going to do this thing, right? Start speaking God's word in your life. The Bible says, mom, what does it say? I always tell you to speak those things as though they're not, as though they were, right? But you got to have faith. You got to trust that, okay, God, look, if I stand and say my brothers are going to be saved, why? Not just because I'm saying this, because God, you said, you told me to speak the way that things should be. So I'm speaking this, right? I'm speaking it. I don't care what the situation looks like. They're going to be saved. They're going to walk with Christ. Why? Because I'm going to stand on God's word. And I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes God is waiting for somebody to stand up. I got a text from a friend this week, and I'm going to close on this. There's a situation going on. They had friends. The person that texted had a lot of friends that had been dying, right? And they were upset. They were confused. They're like, can you pray for me? I don't know what to do. And I told the person, I said, is that person a believer? Because if they see that stuff going on, they need to stand up and start declaring that people are not going to die no more. You're going to start to live. And sometimes I'm going to say this, you got to get mad at the enemy, but not fight him in your own strength, because your own strength will get you nowhere. You can't punch the devil, right? You can't step on him, can't stomp on him, can't poke him with a pitchfork. The only thing that you can do to defeat the enemy is to speak the word of God and stand on the word of God. If you don't stand on the word of God, the enemy got you. That's your only weapon. Amen? So somebody, when we ask, where are you today, you're saying, I'm standing on God's word. So my mind is not confused like people in the world is going on. I'm not swayed by every opinion. I'm not moved by, oh, what are we going to do if this president becomes president? Oh, what are we going to do? Listen, man, God is not panicked by nothing. He's in control. You got to remember that. Guess what? What do we tell the people that are being persecuted for their faith in other countries, some of them being killed? Do we just say, oh, hey, just panic? No. We tell them God is in control. Even if they kill this flesh, they can't kill my spirit. Amen? So we must stand on God's word. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that today we take a stand for you. God, that we desire you higher and more than any and everything here in this earth. God, I pray, number one, that you strengthen your people. Strengthen your people to hear your word and also do your word, God. God, I pray for the people that are around us. Dear God, that we begin to impact. God, that we see the impact of us standing on the word. God, our family members, oh God, we're praying for them to be saved. We're praying for them to be impacted, oh God, and we stand on your word that says, God, that you can do it. You're gonna move. And God, we stay on your word. We stand on your word and say, God, we are yours to use. Whatever you need to do in us, do it, God. Be glorified in our life, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the church say, amen. If that was impactful.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.